John chapter 21, and I want to look in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on the wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. I want to preach on this thought today. We'll start a new series entitled, The Right Side. And we want to preach on this thought today. There is comfort for the right side. Father, would you help us to preach this morning in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit? Amen. In this text, Jesus was crucified, buried, and risen again. He has appeared and shown himself to his disciples. Peter, who has denied the Lord Jesus 3 times, has been forgiven and has been restored to discipleship. But here he says in chapter 21, I go a fishing. Peter was going back, returning to his old way of life, going fishing, saying, I'm getting out of the ministry. I'm getting out of the serving Jesus business. It's been too hard, too difficult from where I stand. The Bible says that Simon Peter walked away and he took 6 people with him. May I say, when you leave, you never leave alone. You always have to take somebody with you to justify what you're doing. My Bible says they fished all night and they caught nothing. You know why? Because Jesus is not going to bless their walking away from God's call upon their life. Jesus said, Children, have you any meat? They said, No. He said, Cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And when they did, there was such a multitude they couldn't even draw all the fish in. Why did he say, Cast the net on the right side? Well, Preacher Darren, Jesus knew where the fish were. That's true. Well, Preacher Darren, he's saying, Cast on the right side and they need to be obedient. That's true. I'm interested this morning in why the right side. I'm reading my Bible. I'm looking in Leviticus chapter 8. And God told Moses, said, Moses, I want you to take a bullock. I want you to kill it. And I want you to take its blood and pour it out on the altar. He says, then I want you to take a ram and offer it for a burnt offering. Then I want you to take another ram. And I want you to take that ram and take its blood. And I want you to put its blood on the priest's right ear, on his right hand's thumb, and on the big toe, the great toe of his right foot. The Lord never uses anything that is not consecrated unto him. May I say this to you today? Before you'll ever do any work for the Lord, you must be washed in the blood. Then we see in Leviticus chapter 14, the leper. And for the leper to have cleansings spiritually, they would take the blood of the lamb, and they would put it on his right ear, on his right thumb, and on his right great toe. And this would mean that the leper has been cleansed. Once that is done, the priest would take oil. He would take the oil and put oil on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. What this means is, before you'll ever have the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, you must first have the blood of the Lamb. There must be a washing before there can be a working, and before you can serve the Lord, you will have to have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never, write it down, never have the oil of the Holy Spirit until you first have the blood of the Lamb. In the book of Leviticus, we see a definite line of demarcation between the right side and the left side. The right side, God is working on the right side. Say amen. Amen. On the left side, there's not blood. On the left side, there's no oil. God is working on the right side. When you see the right side, that's where God is working. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the power on high. That's where and through where God is working. Your right side represents your spiritual side, but it also means your left side, you have a flesh that is not saved. You may say, I'm saved, preacher. Your soul saved, your spirit saved, your body will be saved, but right now you have a flesh that battles against you every day. Think about Simon Peter. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, Simon Peter, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he went on to say how he would be killed, how he'd be crucified, how he would be raised again on the first day of the week. Brother Justin, would you stand up? This is the Lord. He took the Lord by the shoulders. The Bible says he took him. And he said, be it far from you, Lord. He began to rebuke the creator of the universe. He rebuked the darling Son of God. After he just confessed that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, now he's rebuking him so much so that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You better be careful what spirit you're operating in. Because in just a few, you may be do the greatest thing that you'll ever do, and in just a few verses, do the very worst thing that you'll ever do. Thank you. Thank you so much. Why the right side? Peter not only rebuked the Lord, but when it was time for someone to stand up for the Lord, Peter denied him 3 different times. Oh, me. And listen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the enemy came in, Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. Simon Peter took up a sword and he began to go into action. He said, Lord, do you want me to smite with a sword? And rather than wait for an answer, he just went ahead and started chopping. Now Simon Peter has been forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ has restored him to discipleship. But Simon Peter can't forget what he's done. He can't forget how he failed God. Maybe amongst the disciples, maybe there were some of them saying, yeah, failure. Ha! You denied the Lord. You rebuked the Lord. How do you look now? And Simon Peter said, I'm tired of this mess. I go a-fishing. I'm not coming to prayer meeting. I'm not coming to Bible school. I'm not coming back to worship service. I'm going fishing. Phooey with all this mess. He is not receiving the forgiveness of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. I'm almost done already. Matthew chapter 5. We'll read a couple of verses of Scripture. Look what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. I think Simon Peter's being criticized. I think Simon Peter's got somebody fault-finding with him. And it's attacking him and it's tearing him down. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 38, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. We need help in areas where we've been treated spitefully. The only one that can fix a smitten cheek is the Lord. The only one. Number one, write this down. There's a problem here. What is the problem? It is, number one, the closeness of the matter. The Bible says, whosoever shall smite thee on the cheek. In other words, this was not something that was thrown at you. This is not a gun that was shot at you. It is someone that is within arm's reach of you. someone that has smitten you. We all have friends, but there's only a handful we'll let inside our bubble. May I say it like this? For the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves everybody the same, but there were three that stood out. Do you know who they were? Peter, James, and John, sons of thunder. Those three were with Him at Jairus' house when He raised his daughter. Those three were with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I read it this morning in the prayer room, as the Lord would have it. Those three were with Him. Oftentimes in the Garden of Gethsemane, they went further with Him in the garden than anyone else. Those were the crowd, the inside crowd. And you see how it hurt when the Lord was denied and rebuked by Simon Peter, because it was one of His very most inside friends. I'm talking to somebody today, somebody that you have let in has smitten you. They've hurt you and hurt you terribly. Number two, I want you to see the position, the confusion, if you will, of the matter. This is what's confusing you. Justin, would you stand back up, son? Stand right here. Look at me face to face. Now, which is your right side? Point at your right cheek. That's his right cheek. Right? So if I'm going to hit him with my right cheek, I've got to use my left. My left is my what side? Flesh side. Flesh side. I've got to be in the flesh if I'm going to smite my brother in Christ. Well, Preacher Dan, now you could take your hand and you could backhand him, which is a terrible insult. But the Bible says smite. In Matthew 26, verse 67, they smote Jesus with open palms. So there's no way I can hit him with an open palm from my spiritual side to his spiritual side. Unless I am close to him and behind him. This is what's confusing you. It is someone that you've let in close. It is someone that is within arm's reach of you. It is someone that is family to you. Just stay here. I need a good place to lean. It is someone that you have let your guard down with. It is someone that you completely trust. It is someone that you think you don't even have to watch them. I hope this young man knows my preacher's got my back. My preacher would never do anything to trip me or harm me or cause me to stumble. He would never smite me on the right side. He would always be there in my corner. Thank you, son. I'm talking to somebody today. It's in your family. It's worse than a backhanded insult. It's someone that you trust that has smitten you from behind and you've let them in. It's somebody that you're not wary of. It's somebody that you're not scared of. You're never worried that they would ever do anything to you. They're familiar to you. And you love them. And you thought they loved you. But the smack came. I'm talking to somebody here. I'm trying to help you today. You've been smitten on the right cheek. Maybe you feel like it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's an in-law or an outlaw. Maybe it's a familiar friend. And it's confusing you. How did this happen to me? Someone I thought that loved me and had my back. And they would do this to me. Number three. We need to think about the power. Let's have a consideration of the matter. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Justin, would you come back? Now, we've already justified and said that I couldn't hit him with my spiritual side, so he'd have to be turned like this for me to do that. Now, once I do it, he's to turn the other cheek to me. The only way to turn the other cheek is to turn around and he sees who it is. That's what hurts so bad. It's when you see and you offer that other cheek who it is that smote you. That hurts worse than anything when you found out it was your spouse. It was your child. It was your parent. It was a familiar friend. Thank you, son. It was somebody that you love so dearly. It hurts worse than anything else. I'm talking to somebody today. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. You're in pain. In fact, you think it's the Lord slapped you in the face. Where was He when I needed my miracle? Where was He when I needed my prayer request to get answered? And you feel like the Lord has let you down. You feel, listen, honey, the Lord has never let you down. And He will never let you down. You know what happens when someone has smitten you on the cheek and you turn to say, here's the other cheek, and you see what it is, and you're so disappointed and so broken? Here's what you need to do. You need to say, Lord, I want You to take the balm of Gilead, and I want You to ease my pain. And when He does, you feel them nail-scarred hands. Woo! Start rubbing up on your face. You start looking at one that never lets you down. One that never treats you like that. You begin to think about how He suffered in your place. Will you hear me for a second? He shed His blood. Why? Why did He shed His blood? To forgive your sins, right? Why was He beaten? Why was He bludgeoned? Why was His body bruised? Why? So that when we are wounded, when we are beaten, He takes the pain from that and absorbs it into His own body. You are going to be spitefully treated. You are going to be hated for Jesus' sake. People are going to turn their back on you. You will have friends or family that will hurt you in this life. And I'm telling you, in my lifetime, I have been so astonished. I have been so broken by people that I thought stood with me. I went to see them hit me, and I see who it is, and I'm shocked, and watch them walk away and try to use it for their advantage and laugh at me all the way. Listen, God does not want you to be treated like a doormat. But I'm telling you today, let's go back now to Simon Peter. Let's go back. Let's go back. John 21. Let's go back. Here's Simon Peter. Someone has smitten him on the cheek. Someone, maybe a close associate, a disciple, a brother. And they're saying, you've denied the Lord. You've rebuked the Lord. You've failed the Lord. And Simon Peter says, well, I just can't do this anymore. I can't go to that church anymore. I can't serve God anymore. I can't teach that class anymore. I can't sing in that choir anymore. I can't hear that preacher preach anymore. Let me tell you something. And so he left, and he took six people with him. And the Lord came on the shore and said, cast the net on the right side. The right side being significant. And he turns. When they cast it, they can't get all the fish to come back into the boat. There's so many. And John says, it's the Lord. Simon Peter says, I got to dive in the water because I'm unworthy. I've been smitten. I've been suffering. I've been chained. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. I can't wait for us to get this boat back to Him. I've got to jump in the water to hide my shame. I've got to jump in the water to get to Him as fast as I can. I'm telling you today, there are people. Will you hear me? This church, in the day and age in which we live, can be so greatly used of God. Your family, your individual life can be so greatly used of God. But you're allowing some hurt, some pain, some wound, some problem to stand between you and the greatness of God's glory. And I'm telling you, it's high time you said, Lord, would You take the balm of Gilead and ease my pain and bring comfort to my body, comfort to my spirit, comfort to my soul. You'll find comfort on the right side. Oh, yes, it is true. I'm left-handed when I write. And you may say, ha, left-handed. We know you're in the flesh. But God has reminded me that it's the right side of my mind that controls my left side. So I'm the only one in my right mind. Amen? You stand at your feet this morning. I'm just trying to do what God says to do. But there's somebody today, you need comfort for the right side. Brother Seth, if you'd come play, I'm telling you, I pray that somebody here would come and bring a burden for our church and say, oh God, would You greatly use our church? There's been so much pain, so many worries. God, would You so use our
church to sow seeds and to see people saved. Maybe there's somebody here, you'd say, God, would you help my family? There's been such turmoil. There's been so many hurt feelings. God, today would you take the balm of Gilead and God, would you rub our cheeks with it? Would you let me feel the nail-scarred hands touching my head? Lord, would you bring me comfort? Lord, would you send me a blessing today? Preacher Darren, why would you preach it? Because God said you need comfort for your right side today. And he wants to bring that to you. I don't know what suffering. I don't know what sorrow. I don't know what you're wrestling with today. But the Lord has something for you. Would you come? Father, I praise you this morning. And I honor you and I give you glory. Father, the right side is significant. And Simon Peter knew it was more than just obedience. It was more than the Lord knowing. It was that he needed help for the right side that was suffering in his body. Lord, he realized what it was like to be a failure. He realized through all the fussing and the fighting and the friction, he knew he needed God's touch. He knew he needed Jesus to lay his hand upon him. Lord, I pray this morning. God, I beg you. God, would you use Bethel for your glory? God, would you help her, Lord, to get past her hurts and all the feelings, God, that we have as humans, and help us, God, to have healing. Help us, God, to have victory. God, I pray for a mother today, God, whose heart is weeping because she's been smitten. Lord, I pray for a daddy who's broken today because he's been smitten. Lord, I pray for a daughter. I pray for a son. I pray for a grandparent, God, whose heart is breaking in their family. They've been smitten on their spiritual side, and the devil's trying to use it to gain advantage. God, today I pray, Lord, you'd ease it. God, you'd help it today, God. Give us victory over it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' worthy name, amen and amen. My Bible says, without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. My Bible says you have not because you ask not. My Bible says there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So we've given this to him. Let him have his way, youngins. Amen.